us bow our heads in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again we thank you for this day. Thank you for each one that has come out. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for being willing to save us and send your Son Jesus into the world. Help us, O God, to live for you, to not be fearful of the things of the world, but as you have told Jeremiah, I put my words in your mouth. Do not be afraid to speak what I tell you to speak. Lord, I pray you would be with each one of us and that you would help our hearts and minds to be in tune with you, that as we see your word and as we do your business in our business meeting, that it is to glorify and honor you. Help us to stand strong for you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture text for today is found in Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 25 through 35. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 21. Then they went out into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region round Galilee. Now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. We look at the end of this scripture and we see Jesus felt very important to be alone with God the Father. And so he went out a great early in the morning to pray. And it makes me wonder sometimes, even in my own life, am I doing what God has told us to do? That Jesus takes time out to make sure he meets with the Father and he prays. Do we take time out and have a quiet time in prayer with our Lord Jesus Christ and with God the Father? We should do this every day, at least once a day. I like to do mine in the morning. And many times we find we get rushed. We also find many things in this life seems to come in at us. Today is called Sanctity Sunday or the Pro-Life Sunday. And we find that we are celebrating those that have chose to give life rather than death to the babies that are born instead of abortion. Since Roe versus Wade in 1972 and finalized by the Supreme Court in 73, there has been over 60 million babies aborted in this country. You know, God knows those babies. God knows exactly what they were like, and He had designs for them, and He had plans for each one of them. And we find that so very, very plain. I would like to read a portion of Scripture from Psalm 139, beginning at verse 13. And this is David speaking. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, your eyes saw my substance yet being unformed, and in your book they were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there was none of them. What David is saying here, he's giving God all the credit and all the glory. David is saying, thank you, Lord, that my mother did not abort me. He is saying, Lord, even before I was formed or beginning to be formed, at the very time of the time when the sperm came into the womb, you had already written in your book what I was like, and you had your design for my life. And in that design, you knew exactly what you wanted me to do, and you knew and how I would be fashioned. And you had a special design for me. In that design, you wanted me to follow you. And in that following you, I would do your will. You gave me the free choice of a free will to choose. If I choose you, Lord, I will do and the will you want me to do and the one you had designed for me. If I choose to not follow you like Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden, then we find that God's design can be disjointed or changed because we have refused to follow God ourselves. We have done like Adam and Eve. They had a choice, and they followed Satan rather than God. And in following Satan, they gave up their right to eternal life unless they have Christ. In the case before Christ was born, they had to believe in God the Father, and God would send a Messiah into the world. And in that belief, God would count that as He did with Abraham. He counted Abraham's faith for righteousness. And Abraham's righteousness, then, he is known as the father of all those who have faith and trust in God. We find God, through Abraham, chose a certain people in which to show His light, His world, the goodness of His mercy. And yet those same people, many of them rejected God. They wanted to go their own way. We see the Lord did more than just design us. He wrote everything about us in a book. And that book will be opened one day. It will be read. And we will know exactly what God wanted us to do or how to be. It will also be noted in that book if we followed God or if we didn't, if we were for pro-life or if we were for killing the babies and saying they're only a fetus, that they didn't have a soul. Yet we know that they have a soul because even in Jeremiah, God told Jeremiah, before you were formed, I knew you. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, I had plans for you. And then he told Jeremiah, as he told Isaiah, do not be afraid to speak, and do not let your youth hinder you, but do not be afraid to speak my words, because I will be with you. And he told Joshua the same thing, I will be with you, and I will encourage you, and I will deliver you. I will deliver you from the tyrannies of Satan, and I will deliver you and keep you as long as you walk the walk I have designed for you. We find then that so many times we will foolishly choose the things of the world because we think they're better for us, and we find they are not. You see, even in our scripture text, the Old Testament lesson, God is telling us of what he will do when Israel is called back as a nation and they become his chosen people again, to the point that they believe Christ has come and Christ has set up his kingdom. God says, I will bless my people and I will forgive them of their sins, and they will realize that God is the one taking care of them. And he says the Gentiles will come unto them because they want to also learn of this Jesus that saved and served his chosen people. We find this in the, when Christ returns to earth, he will rule the world from Jerusalem, and he will teach the world as they come to him there in Jerusalem. We can also remember in the sanctity of life that if our mothers had chose abortion, none of us would be here today. Think about it. And then we see so many people that say we have the right to do what we want. We know in the United States that abortion is one that can be had up until the birth of the child, and if you want to abort it during that birth, you can do that in some states. That's killing and it's murder. In Revelation chapter 21, it tells us that no murder, no homosexual, no one who is disobedient to God will enter the kingdom of God. And we have to remember that. And as Christians, we have to be willing to stand and say, God sent Christ into the world to save me, a sinner saved by his grace. And in that grace, it is for me to serve my Lord Jesus, not to be scared to step out and to speak the truth, even though people might dislike me or people might dislike what I say. Paul tells us to preach and teach in season, out of season, to rebuke, to teach, and if we have to let people know it is Christ and Christ alone that we have to serve. We see so many things in this particular way. There are many, many Bible verses that talks about abortion. I would like to read just a couple of them. And one of them is from Luke chapter 1, verse 41. And there, it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, The baby leaped in her womb. And in that leaping, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember that story when Mary had found out she was carrying the Son of God, that she left and went to the hill country. And in that hill country, she went to her cousin Elizabeth. And when they heard her greeting, it says the baby leaped in her womb, and John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit along with Elizabeth. And the Holy Spirit moved mightily, and John was the one who came and preached Christ coming. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world is standing in the midst." And he did not take any credit for himself, but he gave it all to Christ. We are to do the same thing. We have to stand sometimes when it's uncomfortable and when we would rather not. Yet we've seen John the Baptist stand strong, proclaiming Christ to those around him. And he proclaimed Christ even unto his death. He said, "I was sent first to make the way straight so that the word of God could be preached." And when Christ came into the world and started teaching and preaching, as he did in our scripture, he had the compassion for those that were sick. And he had compassion for those who were ill. He did not say to get rid of them, but he healed them. And he cast out the evil demons. And he told the demons not to speak because they knew who he was. They had been with him before they rebelled in heaven. They had been with him before the throne of God in heaven. And when Lucifer, the devil himself, the father of lies, rebelled against God Almighty, he was thrown out with one-third of the angels that rebelled with him. And these angels knew Christ. And as we read here, that demon says, "What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? I know who you are. You are the Holy One, the Son of the Holy One of God." You see, they know Christ. They believe he has been sent. And we not only are to believe, but we are to accept Jesus and what he did on the cross of Calvary for us. And as he died for us and was dead and buried and rose again, he overcame Satan and he overcame sin. He overcame death for us. And in that, we find that we have life and we have it more abundantly. In Proverbs chapter 6, 16 through 19, there are six things that the Lord hates, and there are seven that is an abomination unto him. And then it goes on to read in verse 17, it says, "A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood." And that is what is being done in the case of abortions, is innocent blood. We find so strongly that people want to do it their own way, that they have turned against God, and they have turned against salvation, and they think they know the answers. I have an article I would like to read to you, and I don't know if I've read it before. I thought maybe I had, but I think it's very prevalent for today. And it's an article in which to show, even in the United States, how terrible people have turned from the true meaning of Christ, the true scripture, and that they have taken the Bible and they don't want to listen to it anymore. out of a poll of 700 preachers. That puts people like myself on notice, don't it? The following results were given. 48% of those 700 denied complete inspiration of the Bible. How could they preach besides doing it man's way, preaching a feel-good sermon, or saying, if you don't get in trouble, you're going to go to heaven? And that's not so. You must have Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. 20% of them rejected the atonement of Jesus Christ. 12% rejected the resurrection of Christ rising again from the dead. And that Christ would, 27% does not believe that Jesus will come again and judge the living and the dead. It's serious, so serious. A Washington minister said, we liberal, and that's exactly what they are, clergymen are no longer interested in fundamentalist modern controversy. We do not believe we should even waste our time engaging in it. So far as we're concerned, it makes no difference whether Christ was born of a virgin or not. We don't even bother to form an opinion on the subject. An Arlington, Virginia minister said, we have closed our minds to such trivial considerations as the question of the resurrection of Christ. If you fundamentalists wish to believe that nonsense, we have no objection. But we have more important things to preach than the presence or absence of an empty tomb 20 centuries ago. A leading minister in Washington, D.C. said flatly, in our denomination, what you call the faith of our fathers is approaching total extinction. Of course, a few of the older ministers still believe and hold to the Bible. But among the younger men, the real leaders of our denomination today, I do not know a single one who believes in Christ or any of the things that you classify as fundamentalists. We must pray for our leaders. We must stand up and be willing to be counted worthy of being called the servants of Jesus Christ. Jesus healed the sick, and he cast out many demons, it tells us. Capernaum at the time of Christ was maybe 2,000 people, 2,500, and we find that when they left the temple, the synagogue, they went to Peter's house, and if you were there, you would see the temple from Peter's house was a very, very short distance, maybe 3 blocks at the most. And they went into Peter's house, and Peter's mother-in-law was sick. And they tell Jesus, she's sick. And he says, okay, so she's sick. I'll go and talk to her. He goes in, and he takes her by the hand, and he heals her. And usually, if you've had a good flu, it's going to take you a day or two to get your strength back. She had her strength immediately, and she went out and served them. That's a miracle. We have miracles today. We also have many places that profess and say they are of a religious rite, and yet we find that they will not stand up and proclaim Christ and Christ alone. They want to be involved in the social issues of life. God tells us in his Bible and in the book, do not be entangled again in the things of the world, but live for Jesus. Because Christ took and gave his life when he was sent by God into the world. And as he was sent into the world, he was willing to die for you and for me. And as he died for us, he says, lay this sin not to their charge. And he says, it is finished, and he gave up the ghost. But in that sentence of it is finished, he had won that battle over Satan. And when he won that battle, he gave you and I eternal life, as we have Christ in our heart and in our life. And he's telling us, do not be scared. People are going to be against you. And remember, they hated me, they're going to hate you. They persecuted me, and they will persecute you because you do not go along with what they want. We have to stand strong on the Word of God. And Christ says, if you confess me before man, I will confess you before God and the holy angels. But if you deny me, and if you want to go with the world, you will find that you are denying the deity of Jesus Christ. And in denying that deity of Jesus Christ and saying that the way of the world is okay, you will find you are cutting yourself off from eternal life. Because Jesus says, if you deny me, I will deny you. And in the end, when you stand in that judgment hall, will you hear Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into your rest? Or because you have wanted to live peacefully with the world and doing the things that the world wants you to do, and how the world wants you to feel, you would hear him say, depart from me, you sinners. I never knew you. Into everlasting torment. Let us pray that our hearts and our minds are straight with God. We are honest with him in all things, and that we are willing to stand up and say, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. As a congregation and as a church, we want to stand strong on the faith and on the Word of God. I've had people say, I like your church. And you say, why don't you come? And I've heard some of them tell the words of, well, you preach such a strong word of God. I pray God would help me to preach the word of God in its truth and entirety only. No more, no less. Scripture tells us, stand for Jesus and Jesus will stand for us. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And this is what we want to do. Heavenly Father, I pray you would be with us. Help us, O God, to realize your work. And as you healed people, they too knew that you were the one sent by God, that you are the one that came and gave your life for them. Lord, help us to realize that you not only gave your life for us, but you died for us and paid that penalty of sin for us. In Jesus' name, amen.